أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was talking previously about how to treat people. I gave more than one lecture on how to treat people. I talked about the importance of treating people nicely, and about the advantages and uses of treating them kindly. The topic that is under discussion now is a new topic. It is Islah Zatul Bain, or reconciliation among two persons who are supposed to despise each other and to dislike each other. But before we touch the main topic, let me give a brief introduction. To begin with, I would like to say that it is very much natural to face differences and to disagree with others. It is not something uncommon, it is not something unnatural to disagree with others. Disagreement is a natural phenomenon, it is something that is very much common. You disagree with the proposal presented by your friend, and your friend might disagree with the proposal and suggestion presented by you. You might say that let us, for example, buy a new house in A location, and your wife might suggest that A is not a good location, let us buy our new house in B location. So you disagree with each other and there is some disagreement. You present your reasons and she presents her reasons, and on the whole you will eventually get to some sort of agreement. The thing is that the disagreement is something that is very much natural. We cannot totally avoid it. There is difference among family members, there is difference among party members, and there is difference among parliamentarians. Everywhere you see some sort of difference. And to mention a philosophical point here, we should say that our world is made such that difference is not avoidable. Our world is the world of tazahum, or limitations and mutual repulsions. And since the resources we have are not enormous and unlimited, therefore it is very natural that we reject each other. Your friend rejects you and you reject your friend. You say that it should belong to me, and your friend says that it should belong to him or her. So this disagreement arises in such situations. So our world is such that we cannot avoid differences. Difference is very natural. For example, there is a chair. If you occupy the chair, if you sit on it, then your friend, your classmate, will not be able to occupy it. And if your friend sits on it, then you will not be able to sit on it. So this resource is always limited, and the candidates are many. So that is why there will be disagreement and there will be dispute. We cannot avoid dispute and we cannot avoid disagreement. Disagreement is natural. But disagreement sometimes arises among Muslims and non-Muslims. So these disagreements might end up in wars. These disagreements might end up in battles. So battles might be fought. Wars might be fought. So we don't want to deal with such kind of issues. What we want to talk about is the issue that is going to be mentioned now, which is sometimes difference arises among Muslims themselves. For example, there are two groups. One group says that we should sign certain contract. The other group says that we should not sign such a contract. Such a contract will be against our national interests. So there will be dispute between the two parties. And similarly, there might be sometime two groups in parliament talking about something that are very much vital, and they might give different logics and they might give different reasonings. Anyhow, differences are sometimes among Muslims. When disagreements arise among Muslims or Muslim groups, it is either they can overcome these differences, they can either iron out their differences, or the differences will dominate them, and the differences will lead to a war. If the differences are very deep, and if the differences lead to war and end up in clashes, then there will be an occasion for what we call islah or reconciliation. In such a place, if two Muslim parties or if two Muslims get involved in fighting with each other, if two Muslims clash with each other, beat with each other, fight with each other, then there is an occasion for reconciliation or islah. And it is the duty of all Muslims, it is the duty of each one of us to reconcile between the two fighting persons, between the two warring sides. We should not keep quiet, we should not keep silent whenever we see there is a fight between two Muslims, or when there is a very deep dispute between two Muslims, whether they are two Muslim parties or two Muslim countries or two Muslim people. Anyhow, it is our duty and it is our obligation to interfere and to bring peace among them. As far as reconciliation is concerned, which constitutes the subject matter of our present discussion, we can apply reconciliation in two different cases. Sometimes we can apply reconciliation in private cases, for example, in family disputes. And sometimes we can apply the principle of reconciliation to social disputes or social problems. But first of all, we will be dealing with family problems. Of course, every family in each and every nook and corner of the world might face problems. Some families are able to overcome their problems and iron out their differences, whereas there are families that cannot overcome their problems, that cannot dominate their issues, and that is why they are overwhelmed by their difficulties and they are overcome by their problems, and their disputes and differences get very much intense. So when the differences get intense, then it is the responsibility of us to interfere and to bring peace among them. I will mention some verses from the Holy Quran that are related to the matter or to the issue of reconciliation among couples. When couples disagree with each other, when there are signs of disagreement among a couple, then it is the duty, according to the Islamic principle, of us to interfere. The Holy Quran says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا If you fear a breach between them, if you fear that husband and wife may separate, they may not be able to live with each other. If there is such a fear, if there is such a probability, then فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ Appoint a judge from his people and a judge from her people. Look, the Holy Quran is very much fair. It takes into account both sides. It does not take of husband, nor does it take the side of wife. It takes into account both sides. The Holy Quran says, appoint a judge from his people and appoint a judge from her people. Now we have two judges. What is the responsibility and what are they supposed to do? يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا If these two judges desire agreement, if they want to bring about agreement, if they want to reconcile the couple, then God will affect the harmony between them. And their struggles will not go in vain. Their efforts will not be unnoticed. If they want to bring about agreement among these two people, then God will effect a harmony, a reconciliation between these two people. And their efforts will be fruitful. They try to bring them, to unite them. And as a result, they will be united. And God will help them to unite these two people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا God is knowing and aware. Yes, whatever we think, God is aware of it. God is aware of our thoughts. God is aware of our desires. God is aware of our motivations. So if we are desirous to bring about harmony and to bring about peace and to bring about reconciliation, it is, of course, a good intention. And this good intention will be answered and will be addressed by God. And God will help us to do our duties fully and completely. So this is one verse that is related to the issue of Islah Zatul Bayn or the issue of reconciliation. There is another verse in the Holy Quran that is also equally important and that also deals with the issue of reconciliation among two disputing people. The Holy Quran in chapter Nisa, verse number 128 says, وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَازًا فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُسْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا سُلْحًا If a woman fears ill usage or desertion on the part of her husband, there is no blame on them, on the husband and wife, if they affect reconciliation between them. Yes, whenever there is a fear of separation, Whenever there is a fear of discrimination, whenever you think that your husband does not deal you fairly, and whenever you think that your wife does not treat you kindly, then of course in such cases there will be a dispute, there will be disagreement between you two. In such cases you can bring about reconciliation. You can talk to each other, or you can appoint a judge from your own and a judge from your partner to decide on the issue and to bring about reconciliation. And here there is a very famous sentence and a very famous word by Islam, that is, reconciliation is better. وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. This is a very nice statement. وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Reconciliation or peace is better. You see, nowadays Islam is criticized by every person and by every writer and thinker. They say that Islam is not a religion of peace. Islam is not a religion of tolerance. Islam is very much intolerant. Islam is very much dangerous. It does not take into account social issues. It does not respect coexistence. And they say such kind of things. But as a matter of fact, there are many verses in the Holy Quran that tell us that Islam is not a religion of war or a religion of sword. Rather, Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is a religion of harmony. Islam is a religion of reconciliation. Islam gives importance to peace. Islam wants to see peace and to find peace in your family. Islam wants to see peace in your parliament. Islam wants to see peace in your social environment. Everywhere there should be peace. Everywhere there should be harmony. Everywhere there should be peaceful coexistence. Islam does respect such kind of things. Look at this verse, وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. This is a famous saying. It does not talk about a specific issue. It does not address a very specific issue. It talks generally. It says, وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Peace is better. Peace is good. Peace is desirable. So that is why I think so we need to say that Islam, as the name of Islam indicates, is a religion of peace and a religion of coexistence. Yes, of course, there are groups, there are people who want to distort Islam. They give an interpretation of Islam that is not in harmony with real Islam. They want to picture Islam in such a manner that Islam does not know anything other than fight. Islam does not know anything other than war. Islam wants to impose itself on others. This is the image they gave to the world. This is the image they gave to the media. This is the image they gave to satellites. But this is not the image of real Islam. Islam is the religion of peace. Look at this verse, As-sulhu khayrun. Reconciliation is better. Peace is better. And awareness has been made to be present in their minds. If you do good to others and guard against evil, then surely Allah is aware of what you do. So this verse is also about reconciliation. It dictates us. It tells us to follow the principle of reconciliation. It tells us that whenever there is a possibility of reconciliation, then try to make use of this possibility and try to make use of this chance. Of course, there are other verses that are related to the issue of reconciliation. But I will suffice to mention only one of the many verses that are related to the issue of reconciliation. That is an important issue. It is again about the dispute that is happening or that is emerging among families. ولن تستطيعوا أن تعدلوا بين النساء. But Islam agrees with multiple marriages or to have many wives at the same time. But Islam is also concerned about your dealing or about your treating your partners, your wives. How do you treat your wives? Do you treat them kindly or not? If you are able to treat them fairly, and if you are able to treat them nicely, of course you can take many wives and you can follow this way of life. But of course, if you are not able to do so, then avoid taking many wives. وَلَن تَسْتَطِعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ. And you cannot do justice between wives. If you have many wives, you cannot do justice to them. You might be inclined to one and you might neglect the other. So it is impossible spiritually and it is impossible psychologically to do justice to your wives if you have many wives. Even though you may wish it, but be not disinclined from one with total disinclination, so that you leave her, as it were, in suspense. You cannot be fair to all of them and you cannot actually be inclined to all of them in the same way. But try, when it comes to physical treatments, try to deal with them equally and try to behave them kindly. That is what Islam advises us to do. Again, the verse says, guard yourself against evil and be always pious. That is very much important. If you consider God as present everywhere, and if you are pious and guard yourself against evils, of course, it will have an enormous impact on your dealing with others. You will deal them kindly, you will treat them fairly, of course, if you consider God as present. But of course, if you don't have such kind of beliefs, then of course you will feel to be at liberty to do whatever you want to do. Thank you very much for listening.